This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. Do want to thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. Now, I'd like to begin the broadcast with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we bow before you, we come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name above every name. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here with each and every one of the listeners. I do pray for the radio announcers, those that's putting us on the air. I pray that you'd bless them and help them, bless the work. Lord, I ask you today that you'd lead us and guide us and instruct us. Lord God, have your will and your way during this time. We'll give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. We'd like to ask you to continue to pray for our children's homes. One here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, as well as the feeding centers in Romania and Bulgaria. And then if you would, pray for all of our missionaries in those regions and all around the world as the light of the glorious gospel is going out. And may the hearts of people be receptive to it. At the preaching of Jesus, let the scales on their eyes and on their heart fall off so that they could receive him. And that's the greatest gift that's ever been given. And it seems like this year has just flown by and we're getting ready to enter into the Christmas season. But Lord have mercy, what a gift that was given from heaven. And we're so thankful, for the Son of God. And so if you would, we just want to ask you to continue to pray for all these needs. And if you would pray for the need of the flour and oil that they distribute in Romania and Bulgaria. During the hard part of the winter, we try to get each of the church members in those regions 110 pounds of flour and 5 liters of oil to help them through the hard part of the winter. Really helps their families, keeps them fed. And then if you would, also the need of the children's feeding centers where they feed them daily. In some of these places, these are very poverty-stricken areas. I mean, I've seen pictures where they come in to villages and don't have socks, shoes, hardly any clothes on or anything else because they don't have it. And I mean, they're just very poverty stricken, but the Lord loves them, wants to give them a garment of salvation and a robe of righteousness. And I realize they need things to keep them warm. Brother Larry Leach in Bulgaria, they do coats for kids every year and they distribute those and try to get them socks and shoes and gloves and toboggans and everything like that to try to warm them up. And I appreciate that. I don't want to downplay this, their spiritual need, but their physical needs also. Try to feed them daily. And last month we were a little bit short on the feeding for the flour and oil. Some folks responded to that and sent some extra money in. We're very grateful. And I won't take up too much more time. Lord, I could sit here for a long time and tell you some things, but I'll just try to tell heaven, and heaven knows. And we just trust him to supply the needs he always has. Believe that he will. But we do want to ask you to write us this week, if you would, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. We trust you'll enjoy the message.
I'm glad I'm saved. You know, and by far the best thing that ever happened to me. And that's the one thing that I can count on and I can stand on is that I'm saved. Everything else in life, you don't know which way it's going to go. You really don't. You just don't. You know, things happen. Life is just life. And it's hard sometimes. Life can beat you half to death. I mean, it can. But one thing I know is I'm saved. I know what God did for me. And I'm thankful for it. I am. And, you know, eternal life is nothing to play around with. It's serious business. And, I mean, this thing's getting, it's accelerating. I mean, if you're going to get in, you need to get on in. I mean, God saved me a long time ago, many, many years ago, and it still hasn't never wore off. I've been saved, I don't know, 35, 40 years, somewhere in there. But It's never wore off. I've never gotten over what he did for me.
Amen.
You know, I still remember. I remember where I was. I remember, you know, I can't tell you every little detail, but I remember where I was the first time that I ever, from my heart, a sincere heart, cried out to God for some help and mercy and to save me, help me. And he came. I poured out my heart to him, and he came and he did something for me. He's put me in his family and gave me eternal life, and I'm thankful for it. I really am. And I do appreciate the Lord. And I'd like to read a little bit out of Luke chapter 21. Kind of had this on my heart a little bit. I mean, I tell the Lord, you know, God, I don't want to get up and preach unless you're in it. I really don't, and I mean it. I mean, I'm not up to be seen or any of that stuff. I just want somebody to get some help. That's all I care about. Somebody get a little help. God help somebody. But anyway, you know, all you got to do is turn the news on and watch that for a little bit, and you can see how this thing's headed on. And you know, you got all these people. I'll get on here in a minute. All these thousands and thousands of people all over the world protesting against Israel. A lot of college students been, you know, they don't know what they're doing. They've not even experienced life yet. They're young. They don't even know what they're doing. Some professor, ungodly, has put that stuff in their mind and all. But, you know, God told Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee and I'll curse them that curseth thee. All those thousands out there, they're cursed and don't even know it. They're cursed. God told Abraham that, and I believe that. But things are moving on pretty quickly. Anyway, I want to read out of Luke chapter 21, and it says in verse 5, and as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which you behold, the days will come, in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now that happened. That's already happened. I think a lot of people, they read this, and, you know, I don't care what Larkin said in his book and on his chart, and I don't care what the rest of them said in their notes and their charts. You can't put God on a chart. And, you know, I don't claim to be some kind of prophet or anything, but I just read and see what I read. And most of this stuff in here has already happened. Most of it's already passed. I mean, a lot of folks are still waiting on some of these things to happen. They're waiting on some certain day where they can see it and oh, it's began. No, it began 2,000 years ago. It began when Jesus came out of the grave on the third day. These things began to come to pass already. And I mean, it's very plain. I mean, he said, here we've got the temple, how it was all big, beautiful, adorned with all the stones and goodly gifts. And he said, the days will come where there won't be one stone left upon another. Well, that happened within 70 years after Jesus was crucified, risen again. That temple was torn down, not one stone left upon another. The Romans came through. I think it was a general Titus, I think was his name, Roman general, came through there. The armies of Rome came through and destroyed Jerusalem, burned it to the ground, and that temple was destroyed. Not one stone left upon another. That happened already. And he said, and they asked him, saying, he's talking to disciples here, and they're asking Jesus, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived. That's the first thing he said. Don't be deceived. Watch yourself. I mean, stay in this King James Bible. Stay right here in this church where you know the truth is being preached. I mean, with a pastor that spends time alone with God, spends time alone in this Bible, and gets a little something from the Holy Ghost, you better stick with that. Don't go out here running around these other places out here and listen to these people on TV and on the radio. Stick right where you know the gospel's being preached. You don't need to go no further than that. That's far enough. But he said, take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draws near. He said, the time's drawing near. And they've come through the centuries saying, I'm Christ. He said, go ye not therefore after them, but when ye shall hear wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. The other gospels say, when you hear wars and rumors of wars, I hear people say that. They say, yeah, you know, when you start hearing of wars and rumors of wars, well, I mean, he said, nation arise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. These things have already passed. These things started the day Jesus got up out of the grave. I mean, for 2,000 years through the century, there's been nothing but wars and rumors of wars. Man has fought world wars, World War I, World War II. We're headed toward a World War III. And I mean, kingdoms have risen, kingdoms have failed. There's been nothing but war. These things have already been happening for 2,000 years now. And I'm going to get to a little point down here in a little bit. And a great earthquake shall be in divers places. My God, the day Jesus was crucified, and when he gave up the ghost. He died on the cross when he gave up the ghost. What happened? There was a great earthquake.
Amen.
It started right then. There's been earthquakes throughout the centuries.
Amen.
Not long ago, Afghanistan had a couple. There's been earthquakes in our lifetime that have killed over hundreds of thousands of people at one time. Some of these other countries out here.
Amen.
These things have been going on. There'll be famines, pestilence. There's been famines on this earth. You ever been to Africa? I have. You ever been to Bulgaria? Yeah, you can go that far. Go out some of them places out there. You can see some stuff. Especially about 20, 30 years ago. You ever been to India? Had little children all mobbing you? Just wanting some food? They just throw a little handful of money out there. They'll run out there and get it. I mean, it's been hunger and famine. Some of these countries out there. America's just, we've been blessed.
Yeah.
God's protected us from some of these things, but these things have been going on. And famine, pestilence, fearful sights, great signs there should be from heaven. But before all these things, now he said before all these things happen, I mean before the wars and commotions and before the nations rising against night, before the earthquake, before all these things happen, he said, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And they shall turn to a testimony, turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. I'll give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to resist, gainsay, or resist. And, you know, it said you shall be betrayed both by parents, brethren, kinsfolks, friends. Some of you that shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. He said, some of you, you're going to be, they're going to lay their hands on you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to deliver you up to the synagogue. And basically said, some of you, they're going to bring you up before kings and rulers. Some of you, they're going to kill for my name's sake. And I've heard Christians saying, yeah, see, that's going to happen to us. One day they're going to drag us out there. They're going to kill. Well, they may do that one day to you, kill you, chop your head off. He's not talking about you. He's talking to those disciples. He said, before these things start, this is what's going to happen to you. And it happened.
Yes, sir.
They say Peter was crucified upside down. James, we know, was killed with a sword. Those disciples were martyred. They were killed for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. They went up before the kings. And I mean, Paul, Apostle Paul, he went up before Agrippa and Festus. He went up before the kings of Rome and all.
Amen.
They're not dragging some little Gentile into a synagogue.
Amen.
He said they're going to bring you to the synagogues. Pharisees dragged them up before the chief rulers of the people, drug them up before these kings and rulers. He's talking to the disciples, not you. You don't go to a synagogue. These things have already passed.
Amen.
All these things have passed. This thing's been unfolding for 2,000 years now. God's one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years like one day to God.
Amen.
These things have been just unfolding as time has went on, the centuries have went on. Don't be standing around waiting for something to happen where you'll see it. It's been going on.
Amen.
And he said, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. You see, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, you see, that's already happened too.
Amen.
It says some one of the Gospels, you know, about the nations going against Israel. I mean, my God. I mean, Britain, they've had Jerusalem. They ruled Jerusalem. The Turks, the Ottoman Empire, they ruled Jerusalem. I mean, the Gentiles have trodden down Jerusalem. I mean, it says in one of the Gospels about, see Jerusalem trodden down to the Gentiles. They've been trodden down to the Gentiles. My God, they've been, I mean, like the Ottoman Empire had them, the Brits had them, about everybody's had them at one time or another. That's already happened. All this is behind you. And he said, let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon the people. I forgot to mention the Roman Empire had them too. I mean, they crucified them. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, shall be led away captive into all nations. That's what happened to Jerusalem. That's what happened to the Jews. I mean, when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, the Jews were scattered out all over the world for 2,000 years almost. That's where they went. They were scattered from there on, as far as I know. Am I right? They didn't get back until 1948.
Amen.
This has all happened already. Happened. And they should be led away captive into all nations. That's how they got to Germany. And I heard Preacher Potter say, a fellow down in Ashboro, a rich Jewish man, asked him, well, explain Germany. Why did that happen? And Preacher Potter said to get them back home. After they went through all that Holocaust, they're ready to go home. They're ready to get back in their homeland again. They're ready to get out of that place. God had to light a fire on them to get them home. All this has happened. He said, they'll be led away captive in all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. I told you about that. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Till the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. This thing is closing down very quickly. Our day, God opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles in the book of Acts. I think it's chapter 17. I think. Paul said that God opened a door of faith unto the Gentiles. The Bible says in Romans that it said that blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. God blinded them and opened up a door of faith and let the Gentiles in and have an opportunity to get saved. But understand, the Bible says that God opens a door that no man can shut, and God shuts a door that no man can open. When God opens a door, no man can shut that door. He opened a door of faith to the Gentiles to have mercy on you and give you an opportunity to get saved and live in eternity with Him. He opened that door. I mean, the devil's tried to shut it for 2,000 years, but he hasn't been able to do that. I mean, he's tried to kill them. He's tried to kill men that wrote this King James Bible. People have died. The early church people were martyred, killed. Throughout all the centuries, people have died. But that gospel went out, and my God, millions of Gentiles through the centuries have been saved. He could not shut a door on the church because God opened that door.
Amen.
No man can shut it.
Amen.
But understand, he closes a door that no man can open too. He opens doors and he closes them. And when God closes that door, it's closed and it will not open again. And you can't do anything about that. God,
amen,
one day is going to shut the door of faith off to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And when that door is shut, your opportunity's gone. You can beg God, you can beat your head on the altar, but when that door's shut, it's shut. It's finished. It's done.
Amen.
It's too late.
That's right.
You say, well, how does God, how would God shut a door of faith? He just would draw the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He's just pulling the Spirit of God off.
Yes.
And when the Holy Ghost has moved off totally, he's been backing up for years now.
Amen.
He's been withdrawing slowly, slowly over time.
Amen.
He's been moving off. You can believe it or not, but it's true.
Yeah.
Once he moves totally off, you won't get saved.
That's right.
You're not going to get in without the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And that door will be shut. And churches will still be playing. They'll still be turning the wheels with no God in it, with no Holy Ghost moving. You know, a lot of people think, and I'll be done here in a minute. People think, oh, you know, they're waiting for them horses to ride out in the book of Revelation. Them horses, most of them done rode out. They've been riding ever since the resurrection. You know, Robert was talking about this not long ago too. But it talks about them horses. Behold, I saw a white horse. He that sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. He went for to conquer and then to conquer. I think that's the gospel rode out. I may be wrong. I'm not saying I'm perfect on everything, know everything. But I believe 2,000 years the gospel went riding out.
Right.
And it conquered. Jesus built his church.
Yeah.
I mean, he did. That gospel went out. The preaching went out. The churches were built. That horse rode out. He said and talked about the second seal open. I believe them seals have been open. I believe they started opening after the resurrection. They started opening over the years, unfolding. There went out another horse that was red. Power was given to him thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Robert was talking about this, and he's right. You know, people thinking, why is all this happening? Somebody walking in a store and just shooting a bunch of people. Why'd that guy in Maine go in there and kill 18 people? Why all these wars and cutting babies' heads off and all this stuff going on? I mean, why would anybody walk in a business to kill? Why would anybody just walk up and stab somebody? Because there's no peace on the earth anymore. That horse is rode out and he's galloping faster and faster as time goes. He's just going faster. There is no peace. He gave them power to kill one another. Don't take a psychiatrist to figure out what's happening. That horse rode out.
Right.
They're killing. He gave them power to do it. That's why they're doing it. You don't need a big explanation. That horse rode out. Robert could probably explain it to you a lot better than I could. But talked about the other horse, the third seal, a black horse, and had a pair of balancing in his hand and saying, measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. See, thou hurt not the oil and wine. I mean, I think that's maybe a famine stuff, you know. It's around.
Amen.
Just go travel some of these places in the world. You'll see. Most of the world's dirt poor.
Amen.
It really is, the majority of it. Open the fourth seal, heard a voice, fourth beast say, come and see, look, behold, a pale horse. His name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. Buddy, I'll tell you what, tell me death ain't rode out. Go to the cemetery and look around, count the headstones. Go to the VA, look at all the headstones. Death rode out. It's been rode out.
Amen.
Hell followed. Hell's right on its heels.
Yeah.
I believe a lot of this stuff in the book of Revelation. I got news for you. It don't do like it. It don't read like this. Chapter 1 happens, and then chapter 2 happens, and then chapter 3. That Bible ain't like that. It goes back and forth in this thing. I don't care what Larkin said in his little book. Sit down and read this Bible for yourself, and you'll see. I think time, these things are accelerating quickly now. Now Israel's at war, basically on two fronts, with Hamas and Hezbollah to the north. No telling who else is going. Iran's pushing all of it, trying to get all these other proxy nations in on it. Syria, they've already shot at our troops. Amen. This thing's moving on in China and Russia and all the rest of it. All I can tell you is the door to the Gentiles for you to get saved, it's still open, but it's cracked open. Amen. It's cracked open. There's still time. There's still, you can get in. But you got to admit, if you've been in this thing for any time at all, for years and years and years, and been saved and been around this and the real thing, you got to admit, there's not many getting in anymore. For real. Not like we used to see way back. Every now and then. And that's worth it. One of these little youngins get in there, man, that's a blessing. Well, I tell you right now, if you're going to get in, you better. God speaks to your heart at all. I'd be seeking after him anyway, whether he was speaking to me or not. I'd just go on and be, God, help me. Please help me. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want the door shut on me. Don't let that door shut on me, God. I want in. I mean, he'll let you in. But it is closing. I mean, God, he shut the door to Noah's Ark. God shut that door. And once he shut it, nobody could get in. Not that I don't know that anybody was wanting in back then. I don't know. Don't see too many wanting in now, do you? But that's all I had on my heart. This thing's accelerating. A lot of these things have already happened. They're already passed. Don't wait on them to happen. They're already done. It's already been done, most of it. Now the Gentile age is about over. And what God's going to do when he cuts that off to the Gentiles, removes the Holy Ghost off the Gentile crowd. Now the church is the church. He's going to stay with his church. Right. He loves his church. He paid for that in blood. That's, the church is okay. If you're in the real church, you're saved, you're all right. But he's going back. He's going to withdraw that, his Holy Ghost off. And he's going to take them blinders off of Israel's eyes. He's going to open their eyes back up. See, they still got that veil, reading the Old Testament veil. They still got that veil. But one day that veil's going to be taken off of them, and they're going to see. And then he's dealing with them again. He's showing them the truth again. And this thing's accelerating very quickly, so I'd suggest you, if you're not saved, I would surely be seeking after God. Amen. I really would.
Amen. Amen. Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And until next week, God bless you.